Good. Morning, everyone. How you doing? We're going to be in Lord's Day 42 this morning. And as we prepare to finish the Ten Commandments next week, let us begin this morning by looking at three overarching principles that our catechism teaches us about God's law. So by way of introduction, three overarching principles that our catechism teaches. The first one is, all of God's negative commands, the thou shall nots, have positive implications. And so we see this throughout the catechism. Do not murder means answer 107, to love your neighbor as yourself, to be patient, peace-loving, gentle, merciful, and friendly toward them, to protect them from harm as much as we can, and to do good even to our enemies. Do not commit adultery means answer 108, live decent and chaste lives, or answer 109, to keep both body and soul clean and holy. So, negative commands, positive implications for us. Today we'll see do not steal means answer 111, that I do whatever I can for my neighbor's good, that I treat others as I would like to be treated, and that I work faithfully that I may share with those in need. Do not bear false witness means answer 112, to love the truth, speak it candidly and openly acknowledge it, and do what I can to guard and advance my neighbor's good name. And lastly, do not covet means answer 113, with all of your heart, always hate sin and take pleasure in whatever is right. So if we glance across these commandments and think that we have accomplished them by fulfilling the negative face value letter of them, we have got the Ten Commandments very wrong. Every one of the negative commandments has positive implications that the Lord commands upon us. Second overarching principle our catechism teaches us is that these Ten Commandments are not light things. And do not think that you will graduate from them. You will never be done with obedience to these 10 words. They are not the introduction to the law. They are the law. Summarized. These commandments are the fundamentals of the law. Upon this second tablet, love thy neighbor, are types and shadows of all of our sin, all of our rebellion against God. Every sin that we commit breaks all of these commandments in this way. In all of our sin, we break the fifth commandment, in that we dishonor our Heavenly Father, Malachi 1:6, and thrust His good authority off of ourselves, Deuteronomy 6:1. In all of our sin, we break the sixth commandment, in that we hate God in our hearts, 1 John 5:3, and commit spiritual suicide by running from the author of life, Ezekiel 18:20. In all of our sin, we break the seventh commandment, in that we reject our eternal lover, Hosea chapter 1, verse 2, break covenant with our bridegroom, Hosea 2:2, and defile ourselves with every idol under the sun, Ezekiel 16. In all of our sin, we break the eighth commandment, in that we rob God of the glory due His name and set ourselves up as God's deserving of all glory, Romans 1:23. In every one of our sins, we break the ninth commandment, in that we exchange the truth about God for a lie, Romans 1:25. And moreover, make God to be a liar by not believing His gospel, 1 John 5:10. In all of our sin, we break the tenth commandment, in that we covet broken cisterns that hold no water, while we do not desire the fountain of living water Himself, Jeremiah 2:13. So the second principle that our catechism teaches us about these commandments is that they are the root and a shadow of all of our sin against God, by way of the references that they include. And thirdly, the last principle that we'll look at is that, and I hope where this catechism leaves us, is that if you have a small law, you have a small gospel and a small Christ. The extent to which you see the height and depth of righteousness required you in the law is necessarily how you will see the height and depth of righteousness provided for you in Christ. All of our gospel knowledge will be but a scratching of the surface if we do not mind the depths of God's law. And so let us unfold the eighth commandment through our catechism. You shall not steal. And again, we're on Lord's Day 42. What does God forbid in the eighth commandment? God forbids not only outright theft and robbery, punishable by law, but in God's sight, theft also includes all scheming and swindling in order to get our neighbor's goods for ourselves, whether by force or means that appear legitimate, such as inaccurate measurements of weight, size, or volume, fraudulent merchandising, counterfeit money, excessive interest, or any other means forbidden by God. In addition, God forbids all greed and pointless squandering of his gifts. And so our first question and answer today unfolds the negative aspects of God's eighth commandment, you shall not steal. And so Exodus 22, verse 1, the first thing our catechism tells us is very clearly, do not steal includes outright theft and robbery. And Exodus 22, verse 1, if a man steals an ox or a sheep and kills it or sells it, he shall repay five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep. And so outright theft and robbery, punishable by law, very clearly included in you shall not steal. But also, in God's sight, that's not the bar, brothers and sisters. Do not steal also includes all scheming and swindling to get our neighbor's goods for ourselves, whether by force or the appearance of legitimate means. And our catechism lists several, and we see these in Deuteronomy chapter 25. Starting in verse 13. You shall not have in your bag two kinds of weights, a large and a small. You shall not have in your house two kinds of measures, a large and a small. A full and fair weight you shall have, a full and fair measure you shall have, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. For all who do such things, all who act dishonestly, are an abomination to the Lord your God. And so the point of that is, you know, back in the day, you would pay for things by precious metals, right? And so, well, how do you know how much you're giving? There's no, you know, standard coin in many places. And so you would have weights, and you would measure, you know, this much. And also when you're selling things like grain, you need to measure how much is being given. And so many merchants in that day would have two weights. For those whom they know they couldn't get away with it, they would have the right weight. But for those whom they felt that they could cheat, they would bring out the small weight. Or they would bring out the large weight for currency and the small weight for what you were purchasing from them. And so they aren't going into your pocket and taking coins from you, but by methods that appear legitimate to the eye, they are robbing nonetheless. And the Lord includes in that category counterfeiting, excessive interests, any way that you would scheme to get your neighbor's goods for yourselves. But the Catechism continues. In addition, God forbids all greed. We're getting closer and closer to the heart of this commandment. Luke 12, verse 15. And he, being Jesus, said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness or greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And so our catechism going yet deeper, the heart of do not steal is not, make sure you don't cheat your neighbor in transactions. The heart of it is exposing the greed and the covetousness and the perception that our worth and our life consists in the abundance of our possessions or, brothers and sisters, our enjoyment of those possessions. It's the breaking of the eighth commandment. Lastly, pointless squandering of God's gifts. And just right over Luke 16, starting in verse 10. "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give to you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." And so the pointless squandering of his gifts, brothers and sisters. This verse comes right after the parable about the dishonest manager who, was being laid off and, decided to gain himself friends by means of unrighteous wealth, and Christ commended him. He said, "Here's a man who uses what he has wisely." And then he turns to the disciples and say, "Will you use what I have given you wisely? Will you be faithful in the unrighteous wealth that you might be entrusted with true riches?" Pointless squandering of the gifts that God has given us breaks the eighth commandment. But brothers and sisters, our catechism doesn't end negatively on this commandment. Positively, question and answer 111, what does God require of you in this commandment? And our answer, that I do whatever I can for my neighbor's good, that I treat others as I would like them to treat me, and that I work faithfully so that I may share with those in need. That I might do whatever I can for my neighbor's good, Galatians 6, verse 9 through 10. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So not only do not rob your neighbor, but you are, in a sense, robbing your neighbor when you do not do all the good to him that is in your power to do according to the word of God. It's a breaking of the eighth commandment. When you grow weary of doing good and spending yourselves for good, it is robbery, according to our catechism and according to the word of God. That I treat others as I would like them to treat me, and that is a direct quote from Matthew 7:12. And then that I work faithfully so that I may share with those in need. Ephesians 4. Verse 28. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. And so if we end with do not steal, let the thief no longer steal by any means possible, we have only gone halfway. The command is to work faithfully, to do honest work that he might have something to share with those. That is the heart of the Lord when he spoke the eighth commandment over the Israelites and when he penned it with his own finger upon that second tablet of stone. His heart was, work faithfully. Use the gifts that I have given you. You haven't earned any of this. Use what I have given you well. Bless others. Treat others as you would have them treat you. That is the heart of the Lord in the eighth commandment. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But working so that we might have more to give to others.
Yep.
I don't think that ever crosses my mind.
Right. Yep. And so for the recording, Steve brought up a good point that the really convicting point about those two verses is, you know, we will work hard to provide for ourselves, and but do our minds ever go to the implications of those verses that work hard in order to have more than we need to share with those in need? And yeah, that we don't consider that. You know, that's not before our mind as we go to work throughout the week. No, I'm not going to work to make ends meet, right? I'm going to work so that I have an abundance to share with those in need. And that's the heart of the Lord in the eighth commandment. Thank you, Steve. Close our time in catechism. I mean, obviously the applications of this are endless. But what really struck me this week was the line, pointless squandering of his gifts. That was what pierced me this week. Because, you know, brothers and sisters, we are right to point out and confront false teachers. But as quick as we are to mock the Joel Osteens and the Beth Moores, let us also consider that they have done far more to advance their master's kingdom than we have done to advance ours. While we ridicule the prosperity gospel, what have we done with the true gospel? How many books have we written? How many men and women have we discipled? How many thousands have we preached to? Have we flooded the airways with our gospel, brothers and sisters? We are quick to point the finger, but to whom much has been given, much will be required. And what have we done with what we have been given? One who is faithful in much, in very little, is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If we have not worked faithfully with what we have already been entrusted, why do we look for more? If we have squandered God's gifts thus far, why do we expect greater gifts? If we cannot bench press 100 pounds, why do you ask for 200 or 300? It will crush you. God would have us know this morning, you shall not steal. And while we squander his gifts and fiddle away his time, are we not robbing God? consider the following exhortations from Scripture. Haggai chapter 1. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Hosea 10. Break up your fallow ground, brothers and sisters. It is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. Put those dormant, squandered fields of your lives to work for God. You who, Luke 9, put your hand to the plow and have looked back are unfit for the kingdom of God. The words of Christ. As an example of zeal in the work of the Lord, consider Jehu in 2 Kings 9 and 10, who, upon being anointed king of Israel, was commanded by the Lord to purge the nation of Israel of their idolatry. With one word from an unnamed prophet, this Jehu set out that very moment, and it's written of him riding his horse furiously, and accomplished all that the Lord had spoken to the prophets before him by his hand. And I ask today, brothers, is there no Jehu among us who will believe the word of the Lord and who will work with all of his might to see it accomplished? See Jehu, as he departed from faithfully working the will of the Lord, grabbed a man by the hand and pulled him up into his chariot, saying, "Come with me, see my zeal for the Lord." And this Jehu goes out, slaughters every last prophet of Baal, what every other king of Israel failed to do. Demolished their temple and made it a sewer for the rest of Israel's history. The Lord says to him, "You have done well in carrying out what is right in my eyes according to all that is in my heart." That was the Lord's word to him. What will the Lord say to us of our work, brothers and sisters? Will we earn his well-done, good and faithful servant? Can we say with Paul, "I've worked harder than any of them"? Are there any who we've pulled into our chariot saying, "Come, see my zeal for the Lord"? Brothers and sisters, though our zeal is frail, and though we have done so precious little of the work of the Lord, yet let us lift our eyes and see the true King of Israel, the great Jehu, take us by the hand and pull us into his own chariot. Take us by the hand and pull us into heaven itself and seat us upon his throne, not to work, but to watch. Come and see my zeal for the Lord. Not come and help me with my zeal for the Lord. To watch as he works out your salvation from first to last without you. It is written of him, "The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." But brothers and sisters, our Jehu does not go out to slaughter the idolaters, but he goes out in zeal to be slaughtered for idolaters like us, who daily work harder for self and Satan than for our Lord and God. It is written of him, "Zeal for your house will consume me, and though we neglect the building of God's house for earthly comfort and pursuits, yet he is not slack in the work of the Lord." And rejoice, brothers and sisters, because you are that house. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. Much has been given to us, but much was required from Christ's hand. While we are dishonest with very little, he is faithful in much. He faithfully worked that he might share with those in need. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, Yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. As you took your hand off the plow, proving your unfitness for the kingdom, his strong hand took it from you and finished the work that you could have never even started. See his hand on the plow for your salvation. And though those furrows plowed were as the scourge upon his own back, yet our Jesus plowed on for our sake. Brothers and sisters, God requires much of us in the eighth commandment, but he has provided much for us in Christ's fulfillment of it. We would do well to meditate on the faithfulness, precision, diligence, and benevolence that God expects and demands of his people's work. But then rejoice to see the faithfulness, precision, diligence, and benevolence with which Christ took on that great work of our salvation. However we see this, brothers and sisters, is how we will see Christ's fulfillment of it. Let us look long and hard at what is required of us, and then with joy look longer and harder at how Christ has met it for us. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for providing so great a Savior for us, who would impoverish himself that we might become rich. And though we have squandered all of his gifts thus far, and will squander yet more until we reach the heavenly gates, yet you continue to give abundance after abundance of grace to us, Lord. We shall never come to the end of it. And I pray, Lord, that you would produce confidence in us to run to you, and produce rest in us to just come and see your zeal in fulfilling all that we have lacked, and accomplishing all that was written of you in the law and the prophets, and gifting us that righteousness. I pray that we would watch as you work, Lord Jesus, to save your bride, to sanctify her. Lord, I ask that we would see so clearly that all of our working is just a response and a fruit of the work that you have done, and that you have purchased for us good works, that you have foreordained us to walk in, and that is all of your work, Lord, and may you get the glory for it. Please bless us in these ways, Lord God, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.